folks, good to be here tonight. I appreciate you. Appreciate you coming. I know the preacher does, and I know the Lord does. You don't have to come. I tell the guys when I preach to them in the prisons, or we have a service and preach to them, I said, y'all didn't have to show up. I said, be no point in me coming if you didn't show up, but I appreciate you coming. And appreciate y'all coming tonight. Appreciate you letting us represent y'all behind bars, and because we get to go in places that some of you may not want to go, and deal with people that maybe you don't want to deal with, and I understand that. I get the opportunity to deal with people that that are in a bad situation. Some of these guys are not career criminals. Some of them are just got caught up in a bad situation. I did talk, they make one bad decision and their life ruined. I talked to one guy, I was trying to be polite, and I said something about making a mistake. He said, wait a minute. He said, I didn't make a mistake. He said, I committed a crime. I said, okay, got it, message received. And this is one guy who understood why he was there and what he'd done. And I appreciate that. I talked to one guy one time, and he said what he was charged with, he was not guilty of. He said, but he'd gotten away with a whole lot more. So yeah, he deserved to be there. And but then I did talk to another guy. He said he was freer behind bars than he was out on the street because of the people and the things that he could get out there, the drugs and the alcohol and all the promiscuity and everything that's out there. He said he was freer behind bars. Because also he said he had come to know Christ behind bars. And that made the difference. He's all I need. I just told Brother Tim just when he's handing me the microphone, I never had heard that song before. I like the little girl that I've been telling this story for years, and I heard of it years ago about the little girl that tried to learn the 23rd Psalm. She said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want. I don't think she's too far from the truth there. Amen. It's good. Luke chapter 10 in your Bibles. While you're turning there, let me just tell you, again, I appreciate you, your prayers, your support. Appreciate you letting us represent you. We do pray for our protection as we go behind bars. In these days, over the last about 8 or 9 years that we've been doing this here in the United States, it's changed. Security is less because of being able to keep the officers. Sometimes they have to cancel services or cancel movements because of lack of security. And there is a pecking order, a hierarchy in the prisons. Whenever you're in there, for a hostage situation, the outside guest, which would be us, is the top of the pile. And then it's the people that work there, the state SCDC employees, Department of Corrections employees, and then it's the officers. And somewhere way down at the bottom is the inmates. They're the last one on the list. And as far as getting people out, and taking care of them. But we were in Lexington County not long ago, and obviously a county detention center. And a fight broke out. Right, we were right there. Fight broke out, and the officer was half the size of these two huge giants, and they were fixing to go at it. And he had his hand on his taser. And then things kind of calmed down, and then they went their separate ways. But we're standing right there. But I do appreciate you pray for our protection, that God would keep his hand on us and watch over us as we go. The only reason we're there, we're not officers. We're not armed or anything like that. We're just there just to tell people about the Lord. That's the only weapon I got's that. And that's a pretty good weapon. It's a pretty good sword. I like it. I like it. Luke chapter 10 in your Bibles. Luke chapter 10. I want to preach just for a few minutes tonight on a subject that everybody knows, about the Good Samaritan. Half of you probably could quote a lot of these verses. But I just want to bring out a few things tonight that are trying to help us, and then we'll go home. I'm not going to keep you very long, I promise you. And that scares my wife to death. Every time I say that, she says, I hate it when you say that because that means you're going to preach for 4 hours. Or maybe three. Okay, anyhow. We're getting there. Amen. Go ahead and stand with me if you would in respect to the Word of God. And I want to start in verse 25. Bible says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. Just want to say thank you and praise you, God, for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you that we can gather here with people of like precious faith tonight. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for that song, Lord God. He is all I need. You are all I need tonight, Father. All I require is you tonight, Father. I'm going to ask you, Lord God, to help us tonight, Father. I need your touch, Father. I know there's people in here that's hurting, Father, people that have needs tonight. And I just pray, Lord God, you bless and help meet every need, Father. I can't do much about it, Lord God, but you sure can. I do pray for JC and RG and pray for these others tonight, Father, that are in the hospital. Brother Brotherton has just got out. And some of these others. Miss Blanton's going. Lord God, a lot of sickness, a lot of health issues. Lord God, you can meet every need. But Lord God, most importantly, help us tonight, Father, with the spiritual things of the evening. God, touch me tonight, Father. I need your help, Father, to preach this message. And Lord God, help our pastor tonight, Lord God, as he's getting some rest. I pray, God, you touch his family. And Lord, touch them as they come back this way. We'll thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here's Jesus talking to this lawyer. Now this, I got kind of interested in it. This is one who knows the law talking to the one who wrote the law. And I thought that was pretty neat. Of course, you know, the lawyers, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all these folks, they were masters in the law. They were, but the lawyer was one who is a master in tripping people up, and that's just what they do. They're masters at words, a wordsmith, I guess you'd call them. They know how to do this, and that's one of the things that this man was dealing with Jesus. This account is recorded in Matthew and Mark as well, and another one it calls him a scribe, and so these guys are people who know the law. They write, they study, and they can quote scripture just all over the place. And you know, and so they know all this stuff. They've got the law in their mouths. The difference is when it makes it to your heart. And that was the difference for me. I knew when I was a Sunday school teacher here at Gateway Baptist Church back in 1994, and before this building was even built. And I knew what the Word of God said, but I didn't have it in my heart. And then one day, praise the Lord, it came into my heart. God changed my life, became a new creature, born again, saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm glad of it tonight. And that's what this man needed right here. He needed that Word of God to get out of his mouth and out of his mind into his heart. And that's what Jesus' idea was. That's what Jesus, his goal is not just to win an argument. Because the guy, that's what this guy's idea was just to win an argument and try to trip Jesus up and show how smart he was. Jesus was looking a whole lot deeper than just winning an argument. He wanted to win his soul. He wanted to win his heart for Christ. That's what he was wanting. He took every opportunity to do that. You see how Jesus dealt with people in mercy. Many times, mercy. But this guy there, he comes to Jesus and he tempted him, saying, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "What do I got to do?" And you'll see the word "do" in here several times. But I'm here to report to you that what need to be done has been done, and that was done on Calvary's cross. And I'm glad of it tonight. That I'm glad that I don't have to pay a debt. There was a debt that I couldn't pay. He paid it for me. He didn't know it, but he paid it. And I'm glad for it tonight. But Jesus said to him, he said, what's written in the law? He said, you're a lawyer. You know it. Tell me what's written in the law. How do you read this? What do you think about it? What do you think it's saying? And he goes through and he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and thy mind and thy neighbors thyself. And he's quoting Deuteronomy and Leviticus right back to Jesus. The one who wrote those books, he's quoting it back to him. And Jesus said, thou hast answered right. He said, that's what the law is saying. He said, you do it and you'll live. But then, this is where it gets sticky. This is the problem that comes in. Willing to justify or desiring to justify himself. He wanted to declare himself innocent. And he says, who is my neighbor? Or what he's saying is who do I have to be a neighbor to? He said, there's a lot of people out there that don't deserve it. That's what he's saying. He said, there's people that don't deserve it. He's justifying himself for his heartlessness. And that's where we get a lot of times. We say, well, he don't deserve it. Those prisoners down there, they did the crime. Let them do the time. I understand that. I understand there's consequences for sin. I've heard Brother Tim mention this several times. That's just the outworking of sin. I understand that. And that's what happens a lot of times. But we got neighbors everywhere. A neighbor is anybody. All you got to do is look to your left and right. That's your neighbor. We have neighbors to the south, called the Mexicans. We have neighbors to the north, called the Canadians. We have neighbors across the pond, Europeans, another direction. Everybody in this world's your neighbor. That's who your neighbor is. That's what the correct answer is. Everybody's your neighbor. But Jesus began to tell him a story that he didn't expect. And according to the cop shows on TV and the lawyer shows, they say the number one thing that they teach you in lawyer school, besides lying, I guess, no, but anyhow, is don't ask a question you don't already know the answer to. You know, you got somebody on the stand because you're trying to put forth your case. This guy asked a question, and Jesus blew him away. He didn't know what he'd asked, but Jesus began to tell him about the story about the good Samaritan. This man who was through probably no fault of his own was beat up, robbed, and left half dead. And he said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest. Now here's the first one is what I want to talk about a little bit tonight. Using these three guys here, these three individuals in this story, is what kind of a neighbor am I? That's what the guy is asking right here. I'm digressing just a little bit. He didn't say just, well, who is my neighbor? He said, what kind of a neighbor do I have to be? What kind of a neighbor should I have to be? And that's why Jesus began telling him, because see, Jesus, he could see his heart. I can't see your heart. You can't see my heart, but Jesus could see his heart, and he could told him what was going on. He said, I can't do anything about God, about loving the Lord thy God. He said, he's God. He said, but I see men, and they're weak, and they fall. He said, do I really have to be a neighbor to them? And that's why Jesus started. And he started with this priest. And he said there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, I can just imagine from between Jerusalem and Jericho, when I understand the scholars say that there was 12,000 priests and Levites that lived over in Jericho, and they were all the time back and forth between Jerusalem and Jericho, going back and forth all the time. They were doing their priestly duties. You know, they were taking care of the ministry, as it were. Okay? One of the things that I found out, the easiest place to backslide is when you're busy in the ministry. Busy in the ministry. Not devoted, not ministering, but being busy. And that road between Jerusalem and Jericho, if I read what my Bible says, they fell among thieves. Those religious crowd going back and forth, they've not made one single improvement in the condition of this road. It looks pretty bad right there. Even though all that religious crowd is going back and forth down through there. My question to us tonight is, what's the church doing in Boiling Springs? What's the church doing in South Carolina? What are we doing here? What kind of an influence are we having on the area around us? That's kind of mean, isn't it? I don't mean to preach real mean, but we need to start taking a look at what's going on, because I see this priest, and he's walking along, like the guy's over just in a pile. I mean, he's half dead. He's just in a pile, laid up over there, and probably moaning a little bit. And the guy walks by, and he sees him. The Bible says he saw him, but I suspect what happened was he walked by and says, "Oh, I got a text. I got a phone call. I got a meeting I got to go to. I got this I got to do. I got that I got to do. I don't have time to deal with him. I'm ministering. I got to go minister someplace else." Instead of seeing an opportunity right here, he had to go do that. He just kept on going. He said, I don't have time to get involved. I don't have the money to get involved. I don't have the energy to get involved. This guy here, somebody will take care of him. I got things to do. Somebody will take care of him. Next guy. There's 12,000 guys behind me. They'll take care of him, okay? But he never came over to where he was, but just passed by on the other side. And then there was a Levite that came by, and he saw him. And the priest was just religious. But the Levite, he's a guy that works in the temple. And he's both of these work in the temple, but the Levite is part of the law. And what does the law do? The law is a schoolmaster that teaches us and shows us that we need a Savior, shows us our shortcomings. The law does not save. The law shows us we need to be saved. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. And here he is. Here comes the Levite down here. And they're going back and forth. There's all these 12,000 of them going back and forth. And he comes down here and he says, And he goes over and he looks at him. Not worth my time. Because this guy may not be able to come and join the church and tithe and that sort of stuff, or I don't know. Or he did not see the opportunity, did not see any worth in this soul. Or it could be he said, he deserves it. He was because that guy was walking down through here, maybe flashing his money, or maybe he was down here involved in something he should not have been involved in. He got what he asked for. That's the human frailty right there. Because we get to thinking, he don't deserve it. Well, I don't deserve mercy either. Nobody deserves mercy. But you know what the Bible says? Jesus had already said it by the time this came around. I got to thinking. I was trying to study and trying to figure it out. But I'm guessing this is sometime in his second year of ministry, in his public ministry. And the Sermon on the Mount had already taken place. And you know what it says in Matthew chapter 5? It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." That's what Jesus told them. I believe those words are ringing all throughout Galilee. The Sermon on the Mount, all those Beatitudes are ringing through there. And people talking about it. I said, "Did you hear what he said?" And those things may have been coming back to him. But this guy here, he judged him unworthy of mercy. And he went back and he kept on going. And then there was another guy, this Samaritan, an outcast, a man who was unworthy if there ever was anybody. The Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. They could not stand each other. Matter of fact, you remember John chapter 4? I must needs go through Samaria. The way they went from Galilee to that area, they would go around Samaria. But there was a woman at the well that Jesus had a divine appointment with. Told her, "Hey, you know how to be saved." And she wound up getting saved. Other people, the whole place got saved because of her. This guy right here, this Good Samaritan, don't know if he was part of that revival or not. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, so I'm just supposing. This Good Samaritan, he's walking down through here, and he sees this guy over here, this pile of humanity, half dead, laying here, and nobody's helped him. I don't know if he saw those other two guys or not, but he's laying back there, and he says, as he journeyed, the Bible says, he wasn't looking for anybody in particular. He saw him, and he had compassion on him. He had compassion. I think about when Jesus saw the 5,000 out there, and they said they were fainted because they didn't have anything to eat. He had compassion on them, and he fed them with a little boy that just had a lunch, just had a small child's lunch, gave it to the Lord, and the Lord took it and blessed a whole lot of people with it. He saw him. He had compassion on him. But he saw him. And he looked at this guy here. The Samaritan looked at this wreck of a life. He looked at him differently than these other two guys going through. All they saw was, I ain't got time. All they saw, unworthiness. But this guy here, the Good Samaritan, he saw something. He saw some worth. He saw something that the other guys didn't see. I'm reminded of, I was in Mexico in 1996. That's 20 years ago. That's been a long time. I was down there teaching a class in electronics and a meal. And I was reading my Bible. I'd got a little bit behind in my Bible reading. And, you know, we're independent, fundamental, judgmental, temperamental Baptists, and so we've got to stay on schedule, right? And so I was trying to catch back up. I just wanted to catch up to, you know, get back on schedule. And I was reading in Joel, and in Joel 3:14 it says, "Multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." And that spoke to my heart. I didn't understand what it meant, but it spoke to my heart. That was like on a Tuesday. And on Saturday, went back to Monterey, and I had made arrangements with somebody. I don't know who or how it happened. It might have been Carlos Stowers, brother. But got in touch with a missionary down there named Sonny and Beverly Fritz down in Monterey. And never forget them. They're still clipping coupons off of the soul saved from what they did for us those days. But a guy named Greg Aguilar, he's back in New Mexico now, but he took me up on a mountain and there in Monterey, and I looked down and I could see in the valley multitudes. And God let me see that. And God touched my heart. He said, they're down there. I see steeple after steeple after steeple of Catholic churches. But I don't see Christ. I don't see the gospel being preached in a city of 8 million people. God let me have compassion on them. God let this man have compassion on him. And he went to him. He didn't just say, well, somebody else take it. He went over to him himself. And he picked him up. He put oil in his wounds. He bandaged him up. He put him on his own animal, and he carried him to the inn, and he left him there. And he said, he told the man there at the innkeeper, he said, I'm gonna take care of him. He said, here's 2 pence. He said, I'll when I come back, if there's anything else I need to pay, I'll pay it. This man, he got involved in this man's life. And then he made plans to stay involved. He didn't just pass him off to somebody else. That right there is called discipleship, in other words. But he made plans to get involved. Now, we can take this text here and we can spiritualize it and allegorize it and say the 2 pence or the inn is the church and the 2 pence is 2,000 years or the 2 ordinances, and when he says he comes again, that's the rapture, and we can make all this spiritual. But actually, it's just real practical. It's down to earth. This guy was willing to take a risk to help him, to help somebody he didn't even know. He was willing to show mercy to him. I may need some mercy one day. I want to show some mercy to somebody else. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Jesus asked the guy, asked the lawyer, he said, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? Now this guy here, he was still hard-hearted, because you see his answer, he still would not even utter the word Samaritan. He said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. And that's what he wants us to do. He said three times in here, do, do, do. What we need to do is we need to take the mercy that we've been given and translate it out. Let the mercy that comes to us go through us and go out to other folks. There's people out there that's hurting. Who's my neighbor? All you got to do is look around. It's that one that comes in here that maybe doesn't look right, maybe doesn't wear the same clothes, maybe got a bunch of ink, maybe a lot of piercings, maybe who knows what. Maybe it's the one out there that just doesn't walk the same talk as us, but they're a neighbor. That's the ones we need to reach. That's the one Jesus said we need to reach. We need to start showing mercy to people. My question is tonight is, what kind of neighbor am I? It's personal. Because Jesus said, one of the things I noticed in Mexico all the time, I'd ask the people, we'd be trying to explain what Christ did. And I said, now what did Jesus do on the cross? Or why did he die on the cross? And every single time, they would say it in Spanish, of course, but they'd say, for our sins. It was never personal. It was always a group. God doesn't save groups. He saves individuals. He saves souls. He gives mercy, not just to groups, but he gives it to individuals. What kind of neighbor are you tonight? Are you the one, the first one, that just passes by and says, I can't get involved? Or the second one that says, nope, not worthy, they deserve it? Or the third one that says, I'm going to show them some mercy. Because that's what Christ asked me to do. Because I want to be blessed. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Go ahead and stand with me if you would tonight. It's just a practical lesson tonight. Somebody needs to be saved. Tonight's the night. It's a good day to be saved. If you have something you need to deal with the Lord, this altar's open.